Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to minister the Word of God for you today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised and exalted through the message preached, and may He, by His Spirit of grace, grant ears to hear to each one He came to save and ransom by His shed blood on the cross.
Was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ an afterthought, suddenly brought in to cope with an unforeseen difficulty? Or was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross purposed? Now, that's an important question. I can remember being taught as I grew up and went through school that God had set this world in motion and had given His law to Adam, first of all. When Adam disobeyed, that he continued to give new conditions or standards to men. After Adam, of course, came Abraham, and after Abraham came Israel, but all these periods or dispensations of time, God was endeavoring to get man to live according to His law in such a way that He wouldn't have to punish him. And finally, as I was taught and for some time believed, He sent His Son, and ultimately then His Son obeyed and died as an example. Now, that's how I was taught, that His death was an example, and that anybody that would believe on Him and follow His example, then God would save. Now, is this what you believe? If so, dear friend, you do not believe the truth as it is in Scripture. Christ did not come to live His life as an example for us to follow. He came to lay down His life for a people. And that He did according to God's eternal will and purpose. His death was not an afterthought where God suddenly decided, well, I'll do this in order to save people. No. His death, dear friend, was purposed from all eternity. And so as we consider the death of the Lord Jesus Christ today, consider this, that He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This is what Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. It says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now I know that the subject of the death of Christ, the facts of His death, for anybody that has any sense about them at all, it does evoke man's sympathy and pity as you consider it. But dear friends, that's not why He died. He did not die to evoke our sympathy and pity. And neither was His death a mere experiment, uncertain in its result, as if God, having tried everything else, now He would send His Son and have His Son lay down His life in hopes that somebody would believe on Him. This was not a mere trial which God put into operation to see what good could be accomplished. No, it was the eternal purpose and counsel of the sovereign God. If you read in Acts chapter 4, in verses 27 and 28, it says, For of a truth, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now you look at that. All those that in Christ's trial and death stood against him, beginning with Herod and Pontius Pilate, the governors of that particular day, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel. It said everyone that was gathered together against him was gathered to do whatsoever the hand of God and the counsel of God determined before to be done. Now, does that mean that men are not responsible for their actions? No, they're responsible. As Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. There's responsibility. Those that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ did it according to their will. They did what they wanted to do, but in so doing, they accomplished the sovereign, eternal purpose and will of God Himself. Now this becomes even more abundantly clear as you read the Old Testament scriptures and you come across passages where every single detail of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ has already been written down beforehand. Now I have a list here, and I simply want to go down through this list and read these for you and show how from the scripture everything that happened to Christ in his death happened according to God's will and purpose, because it was written beforehand. What about the betrayal of Judas? This is described in Psalm 41 and verse 9, where it says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now those were David's words, and yet the Spirit of God, in moving David to say these things, said them pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You remember Christ himself on the eve of his death foretold the disciples being offended and leaving him and running when he was taken away. And this was foretold in Psalm 31 and verse 11. It says, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. So you see, even this was foretold. And then the false accusations. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. And had it depended upon the truth as far as his own life was concerned, no man could ever have put him to death. It took false accusations. In Psalm 35 and verse 11, it says, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Now this is an important verse in understanding Christ's death as substitution, because he did not die for any crime or sin of his own. He came and laid down his life for the sin of his people, just as his death was foreordained. His death was purposed by God from all eternity, so the people for whom he would die were purposed. God has chosen a people from every tribe, nation, and tongue, the scripture says. And he's purposed to save that people. They're called the elect. And so when he came, as it says here, it was false witnesses that rose up against him. They laid to his charge things that were not true. And so Christ took upon himself the sin that was not his own. It was the sin of his people. Now as we go on in Isaiah, oh, I love the book of Isaiah. It's full of prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7, we read of Christ's silence before his judges. Now, he's God. He could have called 10,000 angels, and they would have delivered him, destroyed the world and delivered him. But here in Isaiah 53 and verse 7, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. It's spoken in the past tense. It's spoken as if it had already happened, and yet this is being prophesied several hundred years previous. It says, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Why did he not open his mouth to his accusers, his earthly accusers? Well, it's because as he stood there, he was answerable to none other than God the Father himself. See, that's why he was there. If he subjected himself to the will of men and to their condemnation, it was in order to satisfy God the Father and work out a perfect righteousness and pay the penalty of sin on behalf of God the Father, to satisfy God's righteousness, that God might be just and justify those that he came to save. It says also in Isaiah 53:12 that he was numbered among the transgressors. In other words, he completely identified with the sinners that he came to save. He was a man just like they were. He had to be in order to be their representative. And he took upon himself their sin. Now, in himself, he was not a sinner, but he took their sin upon him to such a degree that when God the Father looked upon him at that particular moment, he saw nothing but the worst sinner this world has ever known, bearing the sin of his people. That's who he is, the sin bearer. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, his crucifixion, you say, well, was his death, the manner of his death, important? Yes, it was according to Scripture. It wasn't just any sort of death. It certainly wasn't a natural death. His death was an execution, and it was carried out in the worst way, the worst form of execution this world has known. You talk about inhumane. This was it, being crucified. And yet this was foretold in Psalm 22 and verse 16. It says, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Now listen, they pierced my hands and my feet. Was that just happenstance or chance that he was crucified that way? No. You say, well, why would God the Father ever subject his son to such a form of death? Well, it's because it was a death reserved for criminals. And Christ, as the sin bearer of his people, died as a criminal would die. He paid the penalty for the sin of his people. If you want an idea of just how holy God is, don't look to the law. Don't look how he punishes sinners justly in this world, you know, through different means or even sending them to hell. That's what they deserve. But if you want to know just how evil sin is in God's eyes, look how he dealt with his son as the sin bearer, pouring out his wrath upon his son. There we see his justice. There we see his wrath, his holiness. And this is all pictured through crucifixion, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in a few moments, I want to come back and continue to look at these verses and draw some conclusions with regard to the death that Christ died. And I pray that God would not just grant us a knowledge of the facts, that cause us to see this one who died and to know him, to know why he died, for whom he died, and to trust on him. Please stay tuned.
Behold the Lamb. the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Behold, the Lamb of God.
We've been considering together how the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was no accident or chance, but the result of the sovereign counsel and the eternal foreknowledge of God. In other words, it was God who planned it, who ordered it, and who disposed all things concerning it. Now, as I said earlier, this in no way implies that the murderers of Christ were forced into their evil act. God is not the author of evil, does not force men to sin, but as a sovereign God, giving them opportunity, they do sin. They acted freely and did unto Him whatever they desired. And they're accountable to God for their sin. Let me put that in a more personal way. I'm accountable to God for this sin, because had I been there, I would have done the same thing, and so would you. That's our nature. And so none are excused on the ground that it was all the work of God's determinate counsel. God is sovereign, used their malice, use the cruelty and their wicked hands as instruments, but that sin was theirs. It was within them. But God was pleased to use it as an instrument to accomplish His own holy purpose. Now, from the human side, it was a violent death. He was put to death by outrageous men. Even as we saw already in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Those words evoke an image of angry men, bitter men, men raising their fist in the face of God. And that's what this sin nature does. Yet from the point of view of God's sovereignty, no man could touch Him except by the will of the Almighty God. His life was laid down of Himself. Christ said, "No man takes my life. I lay it down of myself." He had power to lay it down and power to take it again. And He said, "Such is the commandment that I've received of my Father." So it was a violent death, and yet determined by God. It was a painful death. The cross, as I said, is one of the worst ways in which a man can die. It was a rack designed to inflict pain, and the pains which He suffered were the pains of death. His soul was in travail, His body in bitter pangs. It was a shameful death. You know, only slaves and the basest and vilest of men were crucified. Those were Roman citizens. If they were executed, it was by decapitation. But slaves and base and vile men were crucified. They're made to be a spectacle. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ endured. Scripture says he endured the cross, despising the shame. But now here's the question. I don't want to just give you facts concerning the death of Christ, but why did the Lord Jesus Christ die this way? There's the important question. Why? Was it merely to show us how a good man dies? No. Was it to teach us an example of how to remain true to our convictions? No. Some would say, well, is it to prove that martyrdom is better than compromise? No. The reason Christ died this sort of death was because in his death he bore the curse of God himself against sin. You see, the curse of the law is against every one of us as sinners. We've fallen short. We've disobeyed, not only in action, but in word and thought. God, having purposed to save a people from all eternity, Christ came and bore that curse for his people and redeemed them from it. And as we saw already, his death was foretold in the Old Testament. But not only foretold, it was prefigured. Many types, pictures of Christ's death in the Old Testament, none greater than the Lamb being sacrificed, which was a type of Christ who is the Lamb of God. That's why John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb." His was a prefigured death, and his was a predicted death, as we've seen. Even Christ himself predicted his death. He said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 22, "For the Son of Man goeth as it hath been determined of him. But woe unto that man by whom he is delivered." And his death was foreappointed by God. It was all according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Therefore, even though Christ died on the cross, what I want you to understand is he did not die of the cross. He died on the cross, but he did not die of the cross. Christ was not a victim of his circumstances. No, all circumstances are in the control of God. That's true even of our own lives. Nothing happens by chance. Even an auto wreck, don't call it an accident. It's a wreck, it's a collision, but it's not an accident. All circumstances are in the control of God. And Christ did not suffer such a tragic death as a result of chance or misfortune. No, he died according to God's eternal will and purpose, that by his death, sinners be saved. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, that Christ died for the ungodly. Now this is the sum and substance of the gospel according to the word of God, the Bible. And it is the great confession of faith of all who believe. Christ died for the ungodly. Notice who died. It is Christ. That's the title that's been given to him, the Anointed One. The one whom God himself has anointed to be the Savior, the Redeemer, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God in human flesh. That's who he is. He was God of very God, and yet he had to be man of men because he represented sinners. God, in order to satisfy God, and men, a man, in order to represent men. That's who died. But how did he die? Well, he died a death of shame under the wrath of God, bearing the sins of his people. You want a picture of God's holiness? Look at his death, the death of Christ, a death of shame. It shows what the wrath of God is against sin. And why did he die? Well, he died as a substitute. He died for, instead of, in the place of, as a substitute, not for everybody. You see, if Christ had died for every single person in the world, then there would be no condemnation for anybody. But he died for all God's elect in order that God might be just and the justifier of these who believe on him, because that's who believes. It's the elect of God. It's those that God has chosen, that Christ has redeemed. And as the gospel is preached, as the gospel is heard, the Spirit of God gives them ears to hear, not just physical ears, but a heart to believe. And they look to him. Christ said, I'm going to have every one that the Father has given me. He said, I'll not lose one. Read that in John chapter 6. That's why he died. He died for them, and that's for whom he died. Notice they're called ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly, not for righteous men. The broad way is full of people who consider themselves good and righteous, and they're striving to work out their salvation themselves. But they're on the broad way. That's the way that leads to destruction. No, Christ died for the ungodly, not for the righteous, not for religious men, not for deserving people, but for the ungodly. That is, for those who are ungodly in their nature, in their practice. Can you identify with this title? I sure can. I know my heart. For a while I couldn't. I grew up in a religious home. I grew up reading the Bible. I grew up feeling pretty good about myself. Until God was pleased to open my eyes and show me my sin and cause me to see that even my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags before him. And then I took my place with the ungodly and recognized God's right to condemn me. And still do today. If he were to send me to hell, even after preaching this message, he would be just and right. But if Christ has died for me, God will never send me to hell. Why? Because Christ has paid the penalty and taken away the curse. When did he die? Well, we already saw that he died in God's time, according to God's determinate counsel. The scripture says he died when we, as sinners, were without strength to obey him or keep his law, and without ability to help ourselves. He died in due time, at the time appointed by the Father. Oh, what good news this is. Well, dear friend, I trust that God will give you ears to hear it. And I trust that if the Lord has revealed Christ in your heart, that you'll rejoice in this one that I've just proclaimed to you.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. Please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org. You may also contact us directly by calling 318-687-4943. Or through email to pastor@shrevegrace.org. Join us next week right here at this same hour.